Hello, to this episode of Persons of the Future Mobility. Today I am really honored to have an interview with Peter Sorgenfrei. Peter, please, Peter, introduce yourself.
This is Peter Sorgenfrei. The last 20 years I've spent in and around the automotive category. I spent 13 years in New York City working for Daimler, Chrysler, Toyota, and as a Wall Street analyst analyzing the future of car makers and suppliers. And then I built my own companies advising Toyota, Mazda, Renault, BMW about their future looking 25 to 50 years out. Today, I'm based in Copenhagen in Denmark, where I'm from, and have spent the last 3 years built an autonomous mobility provider into the largest owner of autonomous shuttles.
So we are in the core of the future mobility. This is quite an advanced and quite sophisticated business model. But how would you characterize it? Are you a manufacturer of autonomous vehicles, or you are a provider of mobility service?
More or less a service company. What people have to imagine is, in the future, and even today, some companies are going to produce autonomous vehicles, and some people are going to access autonomous vehicles. And in between the two is going to be the role of an operator. That's the company that purchases or leases vehicles, puts them into service by getting permissions from local and state governments, operates them as they're running in the streets, connects them to consumers, connects them to other PTAs, public transport authorities, and make the entire system work. And that role of the operator is that what my company does.
Company, software company, a pure software company, or are there hardware elements integrated? And what's the complete function of your company within the future of mobility?
It's a combination of software and practical mechanical stuff. Because when you think of it, if you're running a train service or a regular bus service, you need to have mechanics, you need to have maintenance crews, you need to have people on board these vessels. And there's a lot of practical things that have to go into autonomous shuttles or autonomous cars. You don't just put them on the road and they drive. And all the stuff around them that
already cars and tests, or is it just momentum and just ideas, or do you really test autonomous vehicles in circumstances, in traffic situations?
It is in the city, as you would drive a regular car on regular roads with roundabouts and traffic lights and pedestrians. They're just running by themselves. There's
a test in a closed environment, or is it really a test within the city in mixed traffic? Or this would be quite interesting to me. In Germany we have tests, but they are in a closed environment. They are in the university areas, which is not really open for public transport or for the public. It's an enclosed environment. It's a clear and stable circumstances for autonomous cars.
First of all, Jürgen, I understand that you're a little surprised, because that's what makes our company unique. We're basically the only ones who are operating in mixed traffic. And the experience so far is the vehicles are very careful. So we haven't had any accidents. We haven't run into anything, and nobody has run into us. But we are experiencing that other people in cars around us have to get used to the fact that we follow the speed limit, that we stop at stop sign, these kind of things. And that's one of our main learnings, is that people who drive cars are not very patient when it comes to an autonomous shuttle that follows all the rules.
The big problem is more or less the car driver or the person in the city who is not really familiar with this new technology, or is it the technology is by far rather than if far further and more established or more sophisticated than the average person in this city? Is this right?
Yeah, but it's not black and white. Of course, we are learning a lot about what the technology can and cannot do. We're seeing what happens when, for example, we have road construction on our routes. Right now, there's not an autonomous system that can understand how to navigate construction sites. So that's something we still have to help the vehicle by manually overtaking and steering them around construction, for example.
In your tests, which challenge you have to overcome? Is it more the speed? In Germany, we testing in the average speed between 20 or 30 kilometers per hour. I heard of some tests with trucks which go up to 80 or 90 miles an hour. But what are the main challenges you have to tackle in your tests in the Nordic countries?
I think there are two things that we're hoping to do. One, yes, we want to increase the speed, but as you just pointed out, in many environments, we actually don't have to go much faster than somewhere between 20 and 30 kilometers an hour for it to flow with other traffic. So we don't have to go that much faster. The other thing that we want to improve is for the vehicle to be more independent. As I mentioned, if we have construction sites, we have to help the vehicle. If something is blocking the vehicle and we have to change lanes, we have to help it. So we need to build in more autonomy in the vehicle to handle sort of special circumstances.
Is there still a driver on board in your tests, or is it completely autonomous, or do you use a driver who is not really in the car, or is it a supervised situation via the internet and via sensor data or camera pictures? How should we envision this test in Copenhagen and Gothenburg?
So we're supervising all our vehicles from our central location here in Copenhagen, but we will not remote control the vehicles. And the reason for that is there is still too much of a latency in the data transmission on the cell networks that it's too dangerous to remote control the vehicles, which is why we're also happy to have somebody in the vehicle to help it if it needs help.
Do you have partners in your projects on your test, or is it just your company which is testing, or is it right now schon integrated in the public transport in Copenhagen and Gothenburg?
No, it's we have partners. We have the city of Gothenburg is one. We have a parking company. We have a real estate developer, and we have a private fund that is financing.
Gothenburg and Copenhagen are open for the public, or is it just a test with special clients to show the potential of the technology?
Yes, it's open for the public. It runs 12 hours every day, 7 days a week. And anybody can jump on and jump off.
Your test is quite similar to the tests of Waymo and Google in California, or is the technology more or less advanced than compared to the tests in the USA or the Pacific Rim?
Well, Waymo has more advanced technology than we do. So they have cars that can handle more scenarios than ours. but they are also driving on public roads, and you can access them if you're part of their test community. So they have limited the number of people who can take the autonomous Waymos.
Can you give us here in Germany a general impression of the situation in the Nordic countries? What are the main factors for the establishment of autonomous driving?
No, I think in the Nordics, what you'll see happening is city centers will be closed off to private cars. And in order for that to be effective, you need to have autonomous shuttles and cars and maybe bigger buses that connect existing systems such as trams, metros, regular trains, and the big buses on the bus rapid transit lines. So autonomous systems will essentially enhance and augment the public transportation system in cities in the Nordic.
Talk a bit about the time horizons, which are in play, which are discussed in the Nordic countries. When will the bodies of the or the government will prevent private cars from entering the cities in the next 10 or 20 years?
Jo, hier ist das Ende erreicht dieser Episode aus der Podcast-Reihe Die Zukunftsversion. Hier endet der freie Teil. Weiter geht's auf meinen Webseiten elektroauto.org/Zukunftsmobilisten oder automatisiertesauto.de/Zukunftsmobilisten. Da kann man sich die vollständigen Interviews gegen eine kleine Gebühr anhören. Ich habe auch eine Staffelung drin, also Menschen im AG 1 und 2 Bezug zahlen weniger, als auch Studenten und Doktoranden. Schüler sind auch günstiger. Ja, ich freue mich aufs nächste Mal, wenn es wieder hier bei den Zukunftsmobilisten ein neues Interview gibt. Bis dann, tschüss!